Good day, everyone. Welcome to Listen Up, and I'm Al Neely. And today we have a special guest, Dr. Wesley Proctor of Wesley Proctor Ministries. Let me tell you a little bit about Wes. Okay. Dr. Proctor. Dr. Proctor is an executive administrator and youth pastor at the Victory Christian Church in Philadelphia on Whitby Avenue. Dr. Proctor attended the University of Delaware, where he had received his undergraduate degree in English. He went on from there to receive a master's degree from Temple University. And from there, he went to the University of Pennsylvania, where he received his doctorate in higher education. Dr. Proctor is currently a professor at Villanova University. Dr. Proctor is the CEO and founder of Wesley Proctor Ministries. And lastly, he's my cousin and he's doing me a favor. So say hello to everybody. Thanks, Dr. Proctor.
Hey, thanks, cuz. Thank you, everyone. It's great to be on the podcast with my cousin and just to chop it up and share my experiences and knowledge with you all today. So thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Wes, I would like for you to talk about Wesley Proctor Ministries. Tell us about that. What do you do with that organization?
So Wesley Proctor Ministries is a nonprofit organization that I founded actually watching the Oprah Winfrey Show one night late. She had people on the show who had one idea, and the ideal catapulted them into millionaire status. I'm not a millionaire yet, speaking into existence, but it sparked the ideal in me to create a nonprofit dedicated to, and part of the arm of Wesley Proctor Ministries. Our mission is to be an organization that is dedicated to spiritual and academic excellence, but moreover, it really was birthed out of my oldest brother's tragic murder. He was murdered when I was a senior in high school, and I wanted to do something in the community to continue his name and his legacy in a positive light. So I established the James William Proctor Book Award Program under Wesley Proctor Ministries. We give book money to inner city kids who are graduating from the Philadelphia public school system to help them with their college tuition books, or if they go to vocational school. So that catapulted, and back in 2007, what are we, 16 years later, we're still giving out book scholarships. We've given out over $100,000 in book scholarships to date, just off of the back of ordinary people like you and I in the community to help our students or our children go on to pursue either a vocation or higher education. So Wesley Proctor Ministries really was about the scholarship piece, but then we branched off into providing workshops and seminars to educate grassroots organizations who just received their 501c3 status, which is another arm that I'll do what I'll talk about. But then lastly, Wells Fargo Bank donated a building to my nonprofit organization, and we're going to name the building the Catherine Proctor Family Life Center, where people in the community can come and receive resources. So those are the arms of Wesley Proctor Ministries from 2007 to today. So I'm very proud of what we've accomplished so far.
That sounds awesome. Excellent. And if you didn't know, Catherine Proctor is his mother. And Pat, we love her. So that's
yes, we do.
And she's definitely an inspiration to all of us. If you ever got to meet her, you would understand why. So let's talk about your work with the nonprofit organizations, the 501c3. I see a lot of information coming across Facebook where you're holding seminars. Can you talk about that, and what do you do with those seminars and how it benefits the people that are there?
Sure. So another component of what I do is that I help organizations or individuals obtain their nonprofit status from the IRS, which is the 501c3, to be a registered 501c3 organization. And essentially what that means is just a fancy tax code by the IRS to say that the organization is a nonprofit organization registered to the IRS, and they are exempt from filing and paying corporate income tax on the revenue they bring in for their organization, because their mission is about helping people or addressing an issue in society. So the 501c3, though, once you get it, there are certain rules, there are certain compliance things that organizations need to have, and some organizations aren't aware of that. So Wesley Proctor Ministries educates these grassroots organizations about the importance of filing your 990s, keeping up with your bylaws, choosing members to serve on the board of directors, just giving them a totality of an overview of what it means to be in federal, state, and local compliance with the IRS. Gotcha. So we conduct these workshops periodically, or I should say quarterly, to educate them, whether it's through bookkeeping, whether it's through bylaws, whether it's through board training. We offer those workshops to help organizations to take their nonprofit status to another level.
Yeah. And what benefits have you seen in the community? It seems like every time I see a video or one of your seminars, it's quite full. How has it impacted the people that you've had in terms of learning and understanding and educating them as far as starting their own nonprofits? Have you seen a growth in that?
Oh, absolutely. I get a call maybe at least once a day from a member of a community or someone that's currently running a nonprofit with a question or a compliance issue about how they should run their nonprofit. But I started the workshops because there were no resources that I knew of.
Yes.
That were available to individuals who come to me and had a mother sadly pass, and they want to start a foundation in her memory. All they know is that they want to do good, but not knowing the paperwork side of what it takes to maintain it is very important. So that's my job. I handle all of the compliance issues that they may face or may not be aware of. But while I'm handling it, I'm also educating them by these workshops and seminars, so that way they can be empowered on their own to say, hey, you know, I need to file my 990, or hey, I need to do my annual filing with the state to keep my organization active. All of these things are very important when you talk about not only providing the programs and services, but keeping the nonprofit status legal. So great impact, very informative. I don't run long workshops because I think after a couple of hours, people's attention span is like, you know.
Yeah, they tune
we
you
need
out.
To do a part two.
Right. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in the last 20 years, the church, the Black church, has been moving towards financial education. And I always felt for so long, during the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, the church's main focus had been social, civil rights issues. And I think the Black community has suffered because of there's always been people willing to work and people willing to learn and grow, but there were never any avenues. And if you don't understand how to do something and you don't have the options to diversify, sometimes it can be a dead end. And one of the things that I admire about you and the Victory Christian Center is I see a lot of those programs for the community. And it's just even with technology. So where does that come from? Pastor Jimmy Ellis, he's I have to admit that during the pandemic, I think your church was one of the first churches that I saw online. And I began watching him, and you know, I really like him. So
I need to come. Yes, yeah. I do too. But I'm partial.
That's
my pops. So
okay. Yeah, I need to come. You've been in my church. I need to come to yours. That's not fair. I come up there and Charlie and I. But we're gonna come. But
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. But what changes have you seen in with churches in the community now?
Right. So our church is planted in a very high crime area.
Yes.
We have some very good people in the community, but we also have some issues in our community as well. So our church and our pastor and our team tries to address the most relevant issues that, you know, may come to the forefront in our communities. You know, for example, when there wasn't a place for people to get the COVID shot, you know, we committed to being a host site so the members of the community could come and get the COVID shot. You know, if their insurance couldn't afford it, we partnered with the Black Doctors Consortium and we made our church a hub. But more importantly, we formed what's called a community hub where members in the community can come and be referred to resources for services. So whether their lights got cut off or whether they need money for rent or whether they need food or whether they need a job. We've partnered with another organization called Together for West Philadelphia, which I sit on the board for. I'm actually the treasurer for them, to form this hub and to navigate those resources. And that's always been in the heart of our pastor because he echoes it all the time, for the church to be a resource to the members of the community where we're planted. So I think that's really where it came from. And the free computer classes that we do for the seniors. We just had a back to school book bag drive last week. We also run programs about how to get your record expunged. We had the registers of wills here to talk our seniors and those who have wills through the process and what they would need. So we've been a one-stop shop in terms of that, and try to be a beacon of light for the community in hopes that we do have some impact in some way. And then some of the members of the community, is the last thing I'll say, attend our church. So they're members here, and they help us to keep our finger on the pulse of what the issues are that we might need to address in our church or in the surrounding community.
Gotcha. Where do you get your energy from to do all of this stuff on a daily basis? You know, where's your encouragement?
Definitely from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, definitely from the Lord, because I got to teach a class today on fundraising for nonprofits. So that's my professor hat. So I teach in the Department of Public Administration. I teach on nonprofit management. I teach the students about how important it is to engage in a career of helping other people. So it's kind of interwoven into the fabric of the work that I do here at Victory, which makes it easier for me to do what I do. And I just came up on my 30th year of being a member here. So I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. You were talking about the community which you're in. What kind of social factors do you think are in direct competition with the doctrine of the Christian religion right now today? I hear a lot of people saying rap music, you know, the social media constantly influencing, but what major things have you seen that has been a challenge for bringing people to Jesus?
Well, I have to say, just from my experience being the youth pastor for the last 19 years, I think one of the major challenges we face is, you know, getting the young people attending church, making church relevant to them, but yet not compromising the principles of the gospel. Because they're living in a time that's much different than you and I. You know, we didn't have social media back then. You know, we didn't have cell phones, you know.
Information is at their fingertips, right?
Yes. Yeah. And to have the church compete with that is a major challenge, because you constantly have to be relevant. And then there are things that we do in the youth ministry. I have to make sure that the foundation of what we do is still Christ-centered, which can be a challenge because you still want the young people to have fun. You still want the young people to be young people. But at the same time, you still have to give them Christ. So that and keeping them engaged in that can be very challenging because you don't want them drifting and losing interest. And then the other piece I will say is this whole prosperity piece. You know, young people, you know, teaching them the value of hard work, how our parents and our grandparents worked hard for what they have. And it's just not going to come by magic because you're connected to me. You know what I mean?
It's tough, man. They're 25 and not making $300,000. They're like, what is wrong with my life? You know? But anyway, if anyone is to spend 10 minutes around Wes, you'll see he's kind. People are drawn to him because of his personality. So I understand what your gifts are and why you chose your education and why you're a youth pastor. Give me an idea of community outreach. What are some of the ways that you found to be effective for getting people's attention with bringing them into church and Christ, introducing them to Christ?
So I know for the youth ministry recently, at our church, the fifth Sundays of the month, the youth take over the service. We have Youth Day.
Give them a chance to shine, huh?
I give them a chance to shine. They take over the service. They invite their friends. Hey, I'm going to be reading scripture, or hey, I'm going to be doing a little skit. So their friends come. And then I even had a moment where they were able to share the word of God. So we did what's called a platform service. So I've identified youth in the church that was give them a scripture, give them a topic. We assign them to coaches or mentors to help them work through the scripture, you know, hear what they're going to talk about and really get them engaged in the word, but also help them to spread the word that they're going to be teaching and to bring their friends. So all of that's very important when it comes to bringing people in the church. And then topics, you know, the sermon topics are very important too. You know, you have people in the community that are hurting, you know, they have mental issues, they're fighting things in their mind, they're trying to survive. And the church is really the go-to station to get those issues addressed. So my pastor deals with mental issues. We just had someone for Mental Health Month come and talk about the importance of therapy and counseling. You know, he gave up his sermon time for this person to come. They weren't a preacher, but they talked about mental health, mental illness, the fact that it's real. I like that about my church because we're very relevant. My pastor is not afraid to address the issues, and he's creative in such a way that you don't know what the Sunday is going to look like. Like this past Sunday, he didn't preach. We just prayed for each other. We got together as families and we prayed. I got to pray for my mother, you know, my Aunt Ava, you know, Ava was at church. So she goes to our church as well. So we got a chance to really bond and connect as a family. And I think all of that is important when you attend church, but also when you're praying for other people. So I think those kinds of things are ways we attract the community. And I think they like that because our pastor is very upfront. He's very communicative and he lets us know what's going on.
Yeah. I've definitely seen a growth in understanding of counseling and coaching, life coaching. And I think that's probably happened within the last 20 years of itself. So those are things that we, growing up, we didn't have. You know, you just, we're going to have to pray it away. You know, so what? Those are just.
And just to tell you this real quick, too, I'm on a panel on September 15th that the city is sponsoring with Temple University and the Department of the City of Philadelphia Department of Behavioral Health on trauma that young people face and how faith leaders are addressing that trauma within their local congregations with their young people. And those kinds of things are important. Because as I branch out and connect with all of these different entities, I'm able to bring the young people that are in our congregation with me. And they're able to see that they're not alone in their struggles and in their issues. But it also allows them to connect with other young people that look like them, but they're also trying to follow Christ and love Christ to the best of their ability.
Yeah. Where are some of the organizations of people in that panel?
So the Department of Behavioral Health is one of the organizations. Temple University is another sponsor of the event. We have some local congregation that will be there and will be serving on the panel. And then we have some local schools that will be inviting their young people to attend. So and it's our first event doing this. But it's a very important one. And I'm going to post the flyer on Facebook. So if you want to tag it, you know, you can feel free. But it's on September 15th. Gotcha. I think that's the second Friday. And it's from 9 to 1 here in the city.
Okay. So how can people get in contact with you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Oh, sure. So Facebook is good. Okay. My handle is my first and last name, Wesley Proctor, Wesley, last name Proctor. They may call me at the church. The number to the church is 215-474-2717. That's gotcha. 215-474-2717. Or you can email me, my Wesley Proctor Enterprise. That's my first and last name, Wesley Proctor Enterprise. Enterprise is singular, not plural, @gmail.com. So those are all the ways you can contact me. I'm on Instagram too. My handle on Instagram is Dr. Wesley Proctor. And I think I'm on Twitter because someone handles my social media for me. I don't know the handle offhand, but I think it's okay. The same Dr. Wesley Proctor.
Okay. So, he's very, his calendar is full, so I'm sure he'll get back to you. But what do you have that is next in your plans for moving forward with Wesley Proctor Ministries? What's next for that?
It's ironic that you asked that question. So the building that I mentioned in the beginning that Wells Fargo Bank graciously, and I'm always thankful to Wells Fargo Bank for donating that building to us. The board approved the name change to the Catherine Proctor Family Life Center, but we received a grant from the state of Pennsylvania to be able to renovate the entire building. So we're in the phase now of obtaining contractors and getting their paperwork submitted to the state so that we can use those funds to rehab it. And then once that happens, we're going to go before zoning to get the building zoned so we can then open it up, do a grant opening for the community to come in and see the building and the space and what it has to offer. But mainly The building is going to be a hub for our young people to keep them off the streets, keep them out of trouble, that they'll have a place that they could go to do their homework. There'll be a library in the building. There'll be an arcade in the building. There'll be a lounge. There'll be a kitchen. So all of those things are important as we erect this center. So that is really the next major thing for me and for the nonprofit Wesley Proctor Ministries. So y'all pray for us as we continue to do the Lord's work.
We will. Where is the building going to be located?
So the address of the building is on Aberdeen Street. It's 1722. So it's like it's a house. And that's what I wanted, because I wanted people to feel like they were at home. I didn't want it to be like a big commercial business building, right. Where people wouldn't feel the connection of being at home. So it's in Southwest Philadelphia. We're literally 5 minutes from the Mann Music Center. So people heard of the Mann Music Center, and we're like 10 minutes from the zoo. So
wow,
it's a great area.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Okay. I wanted to thank you for coming on with us. I know you have to get back to your daily activities. You have to do some teaching today. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes. But I appreciated this. This was great. And I hope you will have me come back again.
Oh, we would love to have you back. So, hey, that concludes today's episode of Listen Up. I'm your host, Al Neely. We want to thank you for tuning in with us today. We'll catch you next time on Listen Up.